He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear about true freedom.
We're going to continue with our series on true freedom. And today it's God hears and answers your prayer. You know, have you ever prayed sometimes and you say, well, God, why don't you hear my prayer? Or why don't you answer my prayer? Now, you got to also remember, God answers prayers different for everybody. God may answer that word we don't want to hear. No. It's kind of like getting that candy. You know, asking Mama, can I have some candy just before dinner? And she said, no. Well, you don't want to hear that. You want to say, yes, honey, go ahead and have all you want. It don't matter if you eat supper or not. Right? I don't know about y'all. I like candy. Now, cake, I can leave cake alone. That ain't no big deal. I can pass right on by it. But candy? Boy, it's hard. And my daughter just bought a whole bag of candy corn. I like candy corn. No, I about ate half the bag last night, so I ain't going to have nothing left to plant. I was hoping, how do you get that? Is that how you plant that? You get candy corn sprouts up like that? I need to save a couple kernels. Okay. I'm learning something, baby. Take notes, would you please? I'm learning. That's right. God hears and He answers your prayer. Now, Frances and I, as we were coming, you know, we were going over her the Sunday school lesson this morning. We do that a lot on the way over here. We just kind of go over it and kick it back and forth, and I like to do that. It kind of, you know, it's something, usually something different than what I'm preaching. Elijah had a lot of faith. And when you're studying in your Sunday school class this morning, Elijah was told, now remember, Elijah sat by the brook, right? And then God told Elijah, go by the brook and I'm going to have the ravens feed you and the brook's going to give you water, right? But then what happened? Then finally, the brook dried up. Probably because Elijah wasn't moving. He's like the rest of us. He's like, you know what? This is the life. Let me kick back here. I mean, I got the brook right there. I got the ravens bringing me something to eat. I got a shade tree here. I'm going to sit here and I might just retire here, right? Well, God eventually says, that's not exactly what I had in mind. You're going to have to leave, and you're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to go to where the widow is, right? And then so he went to where the widow was. He got to where the widow was, and he still had to do something. And what did he have to do? He had to believe that what God had told him already was going to come to pass, right? He told him to go to where the widow woman was. She was going to have enough food and water for him. And when he got there, she didn't know nothing about it. It's kind of funny. If you read that passage there, that it was in Kings, really, it sounded like God had already prepared her. But when he got there, she didn't even know anything about it. But because Elijah told her about it, all of a sudden, she begins to have the faith because of the man of God that's standing there to tell her God is in control. And this is what we're going to do. And she was blessed, but he was blessed as well, right? God heard and answered that prayer. Now, what would we have done? Many of us. God told Elijah to go to the widow woman. She's going to have food and drink for you. He gets there, and she doesn't know anything about it. What would we do? Well, I must not have heard God. That's probably what we would have said, right? I must not have heard God, and maybe turned around and walked off. Both would have missed a blessing. Elijah, well, all three, actually, because of her son. All three would have missed the blessing. The widow and her son would have died. And Elijah, I don't know what would have happened. You know, they would have missed that blessing. Because not understanding that what God has told us, we can stand on. When he tells us something is going to happen, we can stand on it. Now, how much faith do we have as individuals? I'm going to say not much. Part one of the questions, I think, in her lesson this morning was, what is the faith that you can believe for? What do? We clamp God down, don't we? Don't we have the God of our mind instead of the God of ages? Instead of the God of eternity, we have the God of our mind. As far as we can step out is only as far as our mind will go. Now, I'm going to tell you, last week I had to put a roof on my house. I do not like heights. And I can tell you right now, when I was younger, I didn't mind them as bad, but I've never liked heights. I'm telling you now, I'm a lot older. It was 20 years ago I put that roof on my house. It was a steel roof. It lasted 20 years till a tornado blew it off. Well, I decided, you know what, I'm going to put it back on there again. Next time, somebody else going to put it on there. I was scared to death, to tell you the truth. I mean, that's just the way I was. Well, my thighs and my calves and everything hurt so bad because the whole week I was walking just like I was scared to death to be walking. And it's not a pitch anything like this church. We got a little leak in the bathroom over there. I am not getting up on this roof. It ain't gonna happen. That bathroom's gonna leak till eternity if you expected me to get up there. I ain't doing it. My nerves were at a frazzle. Now, fortunately, I had a friend of mine who was helping me, and the last day, I fell down the third day. Fortunately, I fell backwards and not off the roof. Scared me to death. And then one other time I was up there, something else happened. I can't remember what it was. Oh, I fell through the roof. I fell through the ceiling is what I did. So now I've got to go fix that as well. It still scared me to death. And I was standing in the attic. You'd have to know how it was all built. And I was standing basically in the attic, fell through the ceiling in the living room. So I should have been trusting God to know that, you know what? God is going to keep me up here. God, I should have prayed, maybe, and you know what? And I'll tell you the truth. I should have just stopped right there, just said, prayed. God, give me, although really, I was praying the whole time, so I don't know. How much faith do you have? How much faith do you have? Come on, there you go. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not. It is kind of cool, though. You know, it's not, you don't have to mess with the pages, but now you got to mess with the, so Sam's sitting there. He's a computer guy, so he's sitting there just laughing at me right now. He's like, oh, man, you can't even work an iPad. How many years ago was we didn't even know what an iPad was, right? Yeah, exactly. That's right. We need to get him out. He could work it for me. That's right. Bring one of my grandkids. Say, okay, flip to the next page for me. God loves you, though, where you're at right now. But he wants you to step out. He wants you to, I love what it said in her book again this morning. He wants you to turn the impossible to the him possible. The impossible to the him possible. God makes everything possible according to his will. And so what we have to do as Christians is begin to believe that. You know what? Ebola, bah, we pray and it's gone in the name of Jesus. Has that scared anybody? Yes. Am I excluded from that? No. It's something that's there. It's right here. I'm hoping it doesn't get up here, but right now it's right here in the back of my head, thinking about it. But you know what? It's impossible for Ebola to be gone if we don't step out and see how big our God is. It's impossible for this country to get back on track if we don't step out and see how big our God is. If we don't begin to understand that our God is huge and not with this little bitty finite mind, then we won't ever see those blessings. Now, does that mean that God can't work without you? No, it doesn't. But it means that if somebody gets hurt and you don't pray for them, God may never heal them because they don't even know that you have a big God or that we have a big God. If you don't actually listen to God, step out and pray the prayer of faith. And so what we have to do as Christians is say bah to all of that, because God is in control and He will fix it in the name of Jesus. He's going to protect you. He protected me from that roof. I didn't fall all the way off, didn't break anything. I was just scared. My nerves were a little bit frazzled. But you know what? It's all right. I'm good. God fixed all of that. And of course, like I said, I should have prayed, but trust me, I was praying the whole time. It's also not necessary that you come, that you're clean to come to God. You don't have to be perfect to come to God. I mean, now, let me tell you, when you start sinning a little bit, what happens is it separates your relationship to God. And sometimes, it's kind of like, it's like when my grandkids do something wrong, I always know they did something wrong because I don't see them. Isn't that right? When they did something wrong, I don't see them. Because they know they're afraid I know they did it. And if I know it, they're in trouble, right? It's the same. But we know that God knows that we did something wrong. Maybe we cussed somebody. Maybe we were mean to somebody. Maybe whatever it was that we did that we know is not a godly action, it separates us from the love of God. Now, He doesn't go anywhere. We do. I'm still going to come in to my house and I'm going to still sit down on the couch just like I've always done. I just look around, my grandkids ain't nowhere to be seen, right? So I'm not going anywhere different. They are. Because there was a problem. That's what happens with us. It just means that's why God wants you to come to Him and say, okay, God, I know I did this. Let's get on with it. Let's have this relationship again. Let's get close and have that relationship. You know, little DJ, he got in trouble a few days ago, and I grounded him. He didn't come around me much. He didn't know, and of course, I wasn't going to do anything else. I wasn't, you know, it's like I've already done what I was going to do. Still, I noticed he was distant. And then, when we came together, you know, and I said, look, this is what the deal is, and I still love you, and everything is still great. Okay, then we were good again. You see, that's God. That's our God to tell us that we have that relationship still with Him. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7. I want you to understand today, this is the good news I want to teach you, that I want you to understand, and I'm not going to teach you anything. You already know this. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know this. Jesus is all powerful. Jesus can do all things, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Can you not do all things? Yes, you can. How do we know that? Jesus says we can do all things through Christ. If it's according to God's will. It's God's will that we don't have Ebola in my mind. It's God's will that none of you are sick. It's God's will that we pray for the people that are here, and at the end we're going to do that. How big is your God? My God is such that we pray today, they're well today. Okay, you know what? We've got Miss Mildred in the hospital, and she's going to rehab. She's not really in the hospital right now, I guess. She's in a rehab center. We got Miss Mildred in rehab, right? We got Rhonda, who's sick and basically in rehab at home. We've got Roy, sick. And we got Thelma, who's in rehab. And we're all saying, yeah, well, we're going to pray that they're well and they'll be back with us in 5 or 6 weeks, right? But how big is your God? Is your God not big enough that we can pray and they are healed today? Literally? Or maybe, was that only for maybe I'm wrong. That was just 2,000 years ago God could do that. He can't do that anymore. That was a long time. You know what? That was way back when Jesus was here. It was only when Jesus was walking on the earth, right? He can't do that. Surely he can't do that today. Amen, he can. Amen, brother. And forever. Nothing has changed. I don't care what the idiot theologians get up and say that, oh, well, that was, you know, God doesn't do the miraculous stuff anymore. Hogwash. Used to have a Carl Hudson, his favorite. Nuts! That was his favorite thing. Nuts! So I have tried not to steal that from him because I know I'd be here. Oh, you just stole that from Carl. That's what Francis would be telling me when I get home. I know you men are different than I am because your wife probably never tells you anything like that, but Francis tries to keep me straight. It doesn't work, but she tries. Luke 7, 1 through 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this in hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus, sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves you to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you." So you got to understand that he was a Gentile. He was unclean. He understood Jesus was a rabbi. He was clean. It was not even a matter of he shouldn't even approach the rabbi because you're talking about an unclean Gentile coming to the clean, spiritually clean rabbi. The centurion understood Jewish traditions, customs, and understood the word and that this is the way he felt. "But say the word and my servant might be healed in 5 weeks. My servant might not die. Say the words and, maybe he could at least get better enough to see his family." No, he says, "Save the word and my servant will be healed." That includes Miss Greta back here who's down in her back a lot. There's no reason Miss Greta has to be down on her back. We should be able to pray for her and the prayer of faith that she is healed in Jesus' name. Now, I want to tell you something I've seen in my experience, and I know this to be true. I have prayed for people before, and they have been healed. Some of them stay healed. And some of them go home and they allow the devil to steal the healing. Because all of a sudden, I have prayed for my own body before, or I have had someone else pray for my body. And what happens is that the devil tries to come and you and say, "You're not healed," and you get a little pain maybe in that same spot. And I have literally, this has happened to me, I said, "No, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I am healed," and the pain moves somewhere else. And I would lay my hand where the pain now was in my back. Now it's maybe in my hip or my knee or whatever. No, in the name of Jesus, I am healed. And the pain would move somewhere else. I am not making this up. And sometimes it'd do that 3 or 4 times until finally the devil would just kind of leave me alone. Because I rebuke him and he would, when you stand against the devil, he has to flee. He's going to leave. So when you pray the prayer of faith, believing it shall be done, and you stand on that, you don't allow you don't allow Satan, because you're still healed. Now you might allow Satan to give you the symptoms and you act like you're not healed anymore, because now I got the symptoms again. But wait a minute, you were healed. You either were healed or you weren't. Isn't that true? When God does it, if you feel it in your body right now in this service, that means it's done. It can't come back unless you allow those fiery darts from Satan to give you the symptom again. You are actually still healed. You're just accepting the symptom. I believe and I have seen that God will heal, and I mean instantaneously. I was sitting in a service when I was young. I was 20, 21. I used to ride bulls, and so I got hurt on a bull. I've had back troubles ever since. You know, you're not too smart when you're young. You know, it's just one of those things. And I had back troubles ever since. And so when I was about 20, 21, I don't remember, 22, I was sitting in this service, and the preacher was up there, and he was preaching. And I don't even remember if he was preaching on healing or anything like that, but I started getting in some pain. My back was hurting. If you've got a hurt back, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. And boy, you start fidgeting, you move this way and you move this way and you're just trying to get comfortable. You're trying to find some place that doesn't hurt so you can be comfortable when your back hurts. And I said, you know what? I don't have to put up with this. And I put my hand on my back. Boy, I was a lot younger. I can't hardly even do that now. I put my hand on my back. And I said, in the name of Jesus, heal my back. And I mean, my back started getting warm. Boy, I smashed my thumb the other day with a hammer too, so I can't even, I was going to do that. I'm just falling apart, ain't I? I hit the wrong nail. That's exactly right. The guy I was working with, he said, now look at this. When I was over in Vietnam, this happened, and I went, I looked just about that smash. Let me tell you something. I hit that dude good. And then my back started getting warm, and all of a sudden I was healed. I was like, wow. Wow. Hallelujah. And if really what I should have done is jumped up in the middle of church and said, praise the Lord, I've just been healed. But I didn't do that. I'm doing it now. Okay? The same thing happened to my wife. She was in her pain in her back, hurting pain for 2-3 days. Every time she got up, she had to scream just about. And I was going, and we were exhausted. We just came in from a wedding. We helped with the wedding, and she's always been a worker. She was working just like hard doing that thing, and her back was hurting, and I was just about out. Well, we were exhausted. We were in the hotel room, and I laid down. And I was just about, you know, you're just about that spot where it's just, oh, it's just almost lights out. And she sat down in the bed, and when she did, she goes, ah! And that's just a little scream. And then she laid down, and when she did that, I was laying on this side, she was laying on this side, I didn't even turn around. I didn't do a great big old, oh God, I didn't do anything. I just turned around, and I just kind of brushed her back. I said, in the name of Jesus, heal her back. And I was gone. I was out. Did I tell y'all this story already? I was gone. Well, she gets up in the morning. She said, did you pray for me last night? And my first reaction was no. That's my first reaction. Because, you know, I mean, I didn't jump down on my knees. I didn't make a big deal. I didn't, oh God, you got, you know, I didn't do, I just, in the name of Jesus, heal her. I don't even think I said it out loud. I think I even, you know, I just touched her, even just brushed her back. And I said, oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I just brushed your back. I said, in the name of Jesus, heal her back. She said, I was healed last night. We got home. We were still exhausted from that. You know, we woke up, of course, that morning. And you know how weddings are. You know, we probably still had to go help them do a few things to get a few things done. We got up. We drove home. So now I'm exhausted. I had at that time, I had an easy chair. I said, honey, I've got to go in the living room. I'm going to take a nap. She said, I'm going to go into the bedroom and lay down on the bed. I'm just going to take a nap too. So I went in there and I did what I said I was going to do. I laid down and I went to sleep. I mean, I went in my big chair and I fell asleep. Boom, quick. I don't know how long I slept, an hour, 2 hours, whatever it was. I woke up and I walked into our bedroom and there she's just sitting on the couch. I mean, on our bed. And in fact, about that, I could tell she was just kind of sitting up. I said, well, did you get a good nap? She said, no, I didn't get a nap. I said, why not? She said, because she's been laying down and sitting up and laying down. She said, because I just wanted to see if it was true. I just wanted to see if it was true. She said, my back is healed. God, our God, is a big God. And He still will heal today. God is in control, and we have to understand how big our God is. Do we want to fill up this church building? Now listen. You think real hard before you answer this question. You got to think hard. Because I'm going to tell you, if we fill up this church building, you know what we're going to get? What's that? I still didn't hear you, Sid. Well, beside that. Did y'all hear what she said? A big head. A big head. No, aside from that. Do you know what you're going to get? You're going to get troubles. Because truly, if we fill it up with the kind of people that we should be filling it up with, it will be those who do not know Jesus. Not necessarily those who grew up in the church. You see, you got those who grew up in the church, and they pretty well know that they're supposed to sit here quietly. But you got those that have not grown up in the church, they don't know how it's supposed to be. And it's liable to be chaotic in here. Until they learn, or maybe until we change. One of us is going to change. But we're still going to worship God. But if we truly pray to fill this church, I believe God's going to answer that prayer. But He ain't going to fill it the way you want it. He's not going to fill it with you. Most churches are saying, God, help our church to grow with people just like me. Now, I don't want no smelly ones. I don't want any of them guys coming in here that took a little nip this morning, might be half drunk. I don't want no drug smokers, drug toters, no, none of that noise. I don't want no prostitutes. I don't want people that wear short pants. I don't want people that have torn clothes. I want people that had a bath the night before. Or maybe that morning. I don't want no stinky people in here. No, God. I want people, you to fill this. I think that's one reason our churches are not growing right now, because we put a stipulation on it. I want, God, this is the kind I want. Fill them with this one. Here we go. Let me put my picture. I want them all to look just like me. I don't really care if they wear a tie necessarily, but they look just like me. Except the women, maybe. Isn't that true? When we begin to pray, have you heard the story? And I know this was a true story, but it was going around the internet for a while. Have you heard the story of the man that walked in the door? Kind of a dirty man. You heard that story? And he walks down the aisle, and everybody's looking at him. Everybody's saying, good night, who let him in? They should have stopped him at the door. And that comes walking right down there. He comes down to the aisle and he sits in the floor. You heard that? Sits right down in the floor. And the eldest deacon of the church stood up. And the other deacon said, well, he's going to go straighten it out. He's going to ask him. He'll go take care of this. He's going to go ask him to leave. And that old man with his cane walked down the aisle. And he stood next to that man, and he looked at him, and he laid his cane aside, and he very hard, crippledly sat down beside the man and crossed his legs. That's the kind of people. You know, I used to go to church at Central Assembly of God in Austin. We had a really, really nice youth group, and it really grew from this point on. We had a group come. Had a singing group. And we did a concert right in the main sanctuary. Youth concert right in the main sanctuary. We had kids. We already had, like I said, we had a great youth group there. It was a big church. We probably had 150 kids or something. There was 700 or 800 kids comes to this concert. And our youth group went skyrocketed after that. The next week, the eldest woman in our congregation, her name was Miss Cedar. She stood up. And she says, Pastor, I'd like to talk. Let me tell you something. When Miss Cedar said she wanted to talk with the pastor, he didn't say a word. He just said yes. because she was the eldest, most respected person in the church. And she stood up, and she was, I can't remember, but she was 88, 89. She was, you know, she was, like I said, she was the eldest lady. She stood up, she says, "Pastor, you know all that singing and all that stuff we had last week here in this sanctuary?" She said, "I thought that was terrible." And I thought, wow, here we go. Because a lot of people, I didn't tell you this, but a lot of those kids came to Christ. A lot of those kids got saved. And I'm sitting there. Here we go. She said, "All of that noise that came out of those boys singing and everything," she said, I just thought that the most God-awful noise I ever heard. And that, of course, everybody is now where nobody dared say anything. You have to understand this lady. She was just very well respected. And she said, "And I hope we do it every week." You see, that's what we have to understand, is that when we pray to a great and mighty God, He's going to do it His way. He's going to give us the desires of His heart, of our heart rather, His way. That's what's going to happen. And that's what we have to be ready for. Well, what's going to happen this Saturday? I don't know. We're going to have a good time. We're going to come. We're going to eat some hot dogs. We're going to bounce around the house. We're going to shoot some goats out of the pen or something. I don't know. What was that? Whatever. We're going to roll some mechanical goats out, okay? We're going to roll out the mechanical goat with a rope. You need to get over here with my wife and get together. Y'all are detail people. See, I'm not. I'm not the detail person. We're going to have something out here that's going to be shooting at you. Got a rope that I don't know what it is. Will the church grow from that? I don't know. Will it change anything? I don't know. Will doing VBS next year, will that change anything? I don't know. But I do know that I want to be obedient to God and step out and do what He wants to do so that He will change us. Let me finish this quickly. I had actually planned to get out early today. We got hamburgers. Right? I need to just give up on that. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Jesus was amazed at him and turned to the crowd following him and said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and what happened? They found the servant well. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen." We need to pray the prayer of faith and watch God work. 1 Corinthians 2, 4-5 says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be on men's wisdom." Men's wisdom says, this ain't going to work. Men's wisdom says, we're out here in the middle of nowhere, and this is all we can expect. That's what men's wisdom says, isn't that? Don't you think? Wouldn't you think that'd be man's wisdom? Let me tell you, when I went to the Ministerial Alliance in Rockdale, they used to tell me that Rockdale could not hope to have more than 200 or 300 member church. That's all they could hope for. Have you ever heard of Possum Creek? It's in Elgin. I think it's Possum Creek. Is that it, Francis? Do you remember? May not be Possum Creek. I've forgotten that. So many years. There was a little church over near Elgin. Community of 200. Guess how many went to church on Sunday? 200. just about 5 or 6 years ago, just for grins, I just thought I'd check on, see how that little church was doing. Now there's about 500 in that community. Guess how many go to church on Sunday morning? 500. Do they all come from where? Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember the name of the little church now. It was Possum Creek or Possum Holler, or I can't remember. Why can we not hope to fill this church 3, 4, 5 times, five services on a Sunday if we have to? Build another building if we have to. Whatever it takes. Is it impossible? Nothing is impossible with God. But we've got to be ready for what God sends us. If He sends somebody dirty, maybe we need to help teach him to take a bath. Maybe we just need to buy him some soap. Maybe they don't have the money for that. We got to be ready for that. God answers us where we are. But see, He gives faith that might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Men's wisdom says Thelma's going to be healed in 5 weeks. 6 weeks, maybe. Men's wisdom said Miss Mildred is going to be healed maybe in 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe not at all. She's 90. She's lived a good life. She's 93 years old. She's 93. Let's all face it, right? That's men's wisdom. That's not God's power. God's power is Miss Mildred is sitting back in here with us, helping us proclaim the gospel. Being the eldest one in this church with a smile on her face, telling us, you know what, I hated that music y'all had last week, but I love the result. With that wisdom, see, that's God's power. But we tend always to use men's wisdom. Whether it be in our job, whether it be in a business dealing that we want to happen, it's just crazy. There's just no way that could happen. Whether it be whatever it is, it's got to be God's power if we're going to do what God wants us to do. First John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask some things, if we have a little bitty sore on here, maybe we can think about that. If we don't, as long as we don't ask about our finances, then we're okay. No, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have, not that we will have, but we have what we have asked. But you know what? Just like Elijah, you got to get up and do something. Elijah was not going to do anything for that widow and her son if he sat by the brook. In fact, God dried up the brook and the raven stopped bringing the food and the tree dried up where he had his shade. So if he didn't get up and move, he was going to die right there. It was over. He's going to die. If you don't get up and move, we're going to die. That's all there is to it. There's people that need Jesus Christ, and God wants to use us to do it. He didn't put this church here on this corner just so it can, you know, we can all get older together and all die until finally, you know, one dies and then two dies and maybe three or four die. And next thing you know, I'm going to die. And if Jesus don't come before it's my time, I'm going to die. And I don't know if it's 5, 10, 20, or 30 years, but eventually I'm going to die. So Is he going to make it to where I just keep on preaching until finally I'm just preaching to nobody and then I just die? If we don't do something, he will. Starting with our fall fest and as we keep on moving forward. Talking to your neighbors, talking to your sons, talking to your daughters. If they don't like the way I preach, we'll find somebody else to preach to us. And I'll sit back here and tell the guy if I like what he said or not. We want to do whatever it takes for God to use us. It means we got to step out and believe. Miss Greta, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your back is healed today. Not because you went to the chiropractor, not because you had it worked on at the doctor, but because the great physician himself will touch you in your back and that you are healed. I pray that your sister-in-law, wasn't it your sister-in-law you said had the knee problem? Is healed. Miss Mildred is healed. Mr. Roy is healed. Miss Thelma is healed. Miss Rhonda is healed in the name of Jesus. And as they come back and they give us praise, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I just started feeling good. I thought I'd come to church. We will know what happened. We can jump up, Baptist or not, we can get up and do a little jig. We can raise our hands, we can say hallelujah, and we can get excited. In the name of Jesus, my knee is healed today, not tomorrow. My God's a big God. Satan's going to come against me with the pain again saying, oh my God, that ain't working. No, in the name of Jesus, it's healed. You got some financial troubles, in the name of Jesus, it's healed. You got the finances right now. All you got to do is step out and not be afraid to take a hold of it. I don't know how that's going to look in your life, but you know more about your finances than I do. I haven't looked in your checkbooks lately. Maybe you ought to give me a blank check like Brother Jimmy tried to do this morning. I'll check it out for you. I'll see how much you got. He already gave Brother Mike a blank check now, so... Jesus is here. The power of the Holy Spirit is here. This is not just some church that's off the side of the highway. The power of Jesus is here. The power of the Holy Spirit's here. And He wants to use you and He wants to work. Your job's not done. Miss Ruth, your job's not done. You're still here for a reason. Your job's not done. Some people, they get older and they say, well, I've been there and I've done that. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to end here, guys. I'm trying to end. But I had a missionary in our church at Meadowbrook. A missionary, he'd been going to Africa all those years. We tried to do faith training in that church. Go out and give people the gospel. Do you know what he said? Been there and done that. He nixed the whole deal. He could have supported what we were trying to do as an outreach, but instead, I've been there and I've done that and it don't work. He sat down on his laurels and did nothing. And you know what? He's dead now. It was not too long after that. He got some disease. I can't remember what it was. And he lasted another 3, 4, 6 months. He did not last much longer, and he died. I had another missionary at that church, and he was with that man in that same meeting. This man had been going out helping build churches all over the United States. He told me in that meeting, I did it in our big Sunday school class because I thought these are the ones that would impact the church as much. He told me, the one said, been there, done that. The other man said, well, if I'd have known it was going to be this, I'd have gone to the other Sunday school class this morning. He's dead too. He died of ALS. Well, what are you saying? Did God just kill him? All I'm saying is, I believe God is saying, well, you know what? Well, then you're done. I don't need you. Your work is done. If you're going to sit there and do nothing, your work is done. So now, I'm not saying they're not in heaven. I believe they were both strong brothers in the Lord. They just figured they did their due. I don't plan to retire as a minister because I don't read it in the book. I can't find it. I have looked and looked and looked to see where it says you're going to retire in the book. It does not say it. The only person that retired in the Bible, he said he looked at all that he had done. I can't quote the scripture. Somebody might be able to, but he looked at all that he had done through his life, and he sat back and he said, look at all I have done. Now I'm going to sit back and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy all of this. And God says, you fool, I'm going to require your life of you this day. That's the only guy I saw retired in the Bible. God didn't appreciate it. Brother Fred, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And but I'm Rick. Rick, I'm old, and I got this, man. It's the old age. You can't be. Yes, I can. I got God on my side, who said, Abraham, what? He died. He walked up the mountain to die. He walked up the mountain to die. He was in good shape. He was healthy. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. You don't have to be old until you die. You can work just like it has always been until the day that it comes time to say, okay, Rick, Brother Rick, this is going to be my last Sunday. What are you saying? Well, I just know that it's time. You're perfectly healthy. Well, you're out there doing jumping jacks with us or something. But all of a sudden, in the name of Jesus, amen. It's healed already. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. See, we... No, it's not. In the name of Jesus, it's healed. It's done. We rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. God's in this church. He's in this room. From the day I walked in this church, I knew God's in this room. I had never planned to pastor a church again in my life. Didn't plan to pastor this one. I'm going to tell you the truth. If I had planned... Well, you're going to have to take this for what it is. If I had planned to pastor a church, that's right. I would wait until I get that one where they're saying, okay, Rick, we're going to give you $120,000, $150,000 a year. We're going to give you a parsonage. We're going to give you your own car. You got mileage. That's right. If I'm going to plan, I'm a lot smarter than that. You got to give me more credit here. So you want me to give you that back? You know, but God does things, and I don't understand it. We're going to pray. I know we got hamburgers to eat. I know we got things to take care of. But I believe we've had food for the soul today. And if you have ailing in your body, you are healed in Jesus' name. Now, if you want to, you can come up here at the end of the service and we will pray with you. If you don't want to, you can sit right back there and you can put your hand on your back or whatever. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. And it will be done according to God's will. Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, HisGospelPower.org, HisGospelPower.org. And there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter and, in fact, with any future
support that you would like to give to this radio ministry, if it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.